We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Let's go! Welcome to the Jason John Show. Friday, July 19th, 2024. It is a blessing to be here. You wake up on a day like today and you wonder, like, am I going to be here? Am I going to be heard? Is anybody out there? What a day. What a scary day, honestly. We'll touch on that in just a little bit. As a nationwide outage of what, I don't know, but an outage is just what we are seeing and experiencing in corporate America today. Big show. Zach Edey played yesterday. Zach Edey once again left the game yesterday with an ankle injury.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Right? That's what isn't. What was that? Was that Great Expectations? Great Expectations. That's perfect. That's perfect. Because that's what y'all had. That's what y'all had for Summer League. Great Expectations. And those were, unfortunately, in terms of availability, I would say, dashed. So we'll get to that on the show. Anthony Sane going to join us in studio at 11:25. We'll talk to him about all of this. The Grizzlies Summer League. Despite Edey leaving the game, it's amazing. They win and they cover. They are 4-0, and they are 4-0 against the spread. They are amazing. They are a Summer League giant. I bet on them to win Summer League last year. I was a year too soon.
Yeah. I mean, who could have predicted that, John?
Well, I mean, we could have predicted. I mean, they were one of the favorites this year, but my only question was how long that everybody would play.
Availability.
I don't think I would have expected. For example, Scottie Pippen and Gigi and LaRavia even played yesterday for some reason.
It's been strange because we keep guessing who's going to play every single one of these summer games. Like, you do not, you literally, like most years, you can predict, you know. Like, when I saw DJ Jeffries on the roster, I thought for sure he'd get a little bit of playing time. He doesn't play at all.
Right.
I mean, poor DJ Jeffries just trying to get on a G League squad or get a sniff. Everyone can't even get it on Summer League.
No, the Grizzlies they've definitely tried to win. They played their you know, major guys.
Well, this is over the years, historically, since Taylor Jenkins has been the coach, this has been their MO. Like, they go balls to the walls. I know he's not coaching Summer League, but Jason March and their staff, like, they clearly have made winning a priority. And I think you said it best yesterday. Once you get within striking distance of it, like, now you're 4-0, you're going to be in the playoffs for this Summer League thing this weekend on Sunday.
Right.
You know, you might as well go try to win the damn thing now at this point.
Well, that's
what
happens. I mean, that's just what happens. Like, you get into the game.
Yeah.
And it's competitive. Mm-hmm. And, like, you just find yourself in a situation in the fourth quarter where it's a 4-point game. You're going to call a timeout and say, all right, guys. You know, like,
let's go smoke these dudes.
You're just not going to let it happen.
Yeah.
It's just not human nature, right? Like, you're not just going to sit there and say, all right, let me get all my worst players out here. We're up four. Let me get all my worst players out here and see what happens. Like, it's just not, the way that's going to go. Anyway, we'll talk to Anthony Sane about that here in studio in just a little bit. Then at 1:25, super blessed, honored, privileged once again for our annual pre-training camp visit, Calvin Austin III.
Nice get, John.
He is going to be in studio with us, and they start camp next week.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is like his last weekend in Memphis.
Yeah.
So the idea that he would make time to stop by is amazing on his
always
part.
Always super humble dude.
Yeah, he's going into a super important year for himself, too. You know, this is the third year of his four-year deal. And, look, he's got an opportunity. He's got an opportunity there, you know, as the third/fourth receiver, and I'm assuming kick returner.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is actually a huge year because they changed the kickoff rules, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They changed the kickoff rules, and I'm wondering if he thinks that that benefits him. I'm wondering if it makes him, you know, a little more. First of all, I think you're going to get a chance.
Yep.
You're going to get a chance to return kicks now. Used to, it would just be touchback.
Yep. I like the way they've set this up because you're going to get shots now.
Yeah.
And a guy like as fast as he is.
Yeah.
My goodness.
So I think you're going to have some new opportunities.
Yep.
So we'll talk to Calvin about that. New quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
New quarterback's tough situation because
right.
You know Kenny Pickett, who's now in Philadelphia, definitely went all out. And trying to sort of ingratiate himself, because last year when we had Calvin in, he was talking about he had gone to Kenny's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was invited to Kenny's wedding and things like that. And look, that's the life in the NFL, right? Life in the NFL is it's not for long. Kenny Pickett was a top 10 guy?
I think so. Kenny Pickett. Let me look up Kenny. Old Kenny.
I feel like he went pretty
high. Yeah, because they were getting him right out of Pittsburgh there.
Yes.
You know, he was coming right across. Basically, he had a locker room
in
the place
20th.
Already.
He went 20th.
Okay, first rounder.
So he went 20th, and that was 2 years ago.
I like Kenny Pickett, though. I think he's an NFL player.
Yeah, listen, I saw him, you know, he didn't play a ton as a rookie. You know, they put him in at one point, you know, sort of midway through the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought
he's an Eagle now?
He's an Eagle, yeah. I thought he showed some moxie, but, you know, I'm not even making a joke about this. Like, his hands are small.
I remember the measurement combo on him.
He has small hands.
It happens.
And you know, for an NFL quarterback, that's very difficult.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to have. Like, he has small hands relative to NFL quarterbacks.
Sure. Like, his hand would be larger
than
ours.
Right. He doesn't have small hands, you know, relative to. He's 6'3", 220.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He doesn't have small hands next to us.
Sure.
But he's got small hands for what an NFL quarterback's job, you know, requires.
Sure.
So, listen, we'll see. Obviously, that job is not open in Philly and probably won't be. But, you know, we'll talk about that with Calvin.
Yeah.
How he adjusts. You go from, you know, KP to Mr. Unlimited, and Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah,
Justin
that's right.
Fields is there, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd like to see. You know, I'd like to see what he thinks of that situation and working with, an MVP and a Super Bowl champ. You know, so we'll do that at 125 with Calvin. So that's the show today. Looking forward to it. Before we get into Summer League, my God. I tell you what, this outage thing is really scary. It didn't end up like impacting most of America, in fairness. But I mean, I saw you had flights grounded.
Yep.
You had banks payment systems suspended.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Microsoft wasn't working. Even it's even so far it impacts offshore sports books.
Oh, the books.
Yes.
Oh, this affects you then, clearly.
Not me, because I have
yours are legit.
But it does impact a lot of people. There's no doubt about that in the sports betting world. And and obviously, it feels like they figured out the source of it.
Yeah, they did.
They've maintained that it's not an attack, right? They've maintained it's not an attack. But how can your mind not go there?
So, about 4 or 5 years ago, Inside Baseball, you were here, I think,
when
we got hit as a company. We were still Entercom. We weren't called Odyssey at the time. And it destroyed our business. Like, it wreaked havoc. And then that was not CrowdStrike or a computer issue or the preventative service. We didn't have the preventative service. So all of these companies like us have signed up for companies like this one. This seems to be the from what I gathered today, CrowdStrike seems to be the number one operator in the field right now. It's sort of they're the Nike of their business, apparently.
Gotcha.
So CrowdStrike, and we get these updates all the time. I have an Odyssey-issued computer, and it's constant updates.
Gotcha.
Please update your computer. Refresh. You know, reboot your computer. And when they do that, it gives you an update. Well, apparently, somebody in that field it was an update with a bug in it, and so when it updated it, it wreaked havoc and it shut down what it's trying to prevent. But I mean, these things do work, though. I do want to say I listened to the spokesperson this morning on NBC. He spoke,
right?
And man, working's hard, and it is hard to run a business. So I take the guy at his word. Like, I kind of felt bad for the guy because he's got people that are reporting to him, and there's probably, you know, 20 people in that department or 100 people in that department, I assume. And then something happened, and it issued a bug, and it
right.
screwed up air travel and us, too, yeah, a little bit.
It's people are calling it the largest IT outage in history.
Yes. It's Y2K only right. 24 years late.
Which is what they thought Y2K would be.
Right.
Something like this.
You remember 2000? I know you were
young.
Oh,
yeah. No,
I remember. What was going on?
I remember when everybody was like, when 99 turns to 2000, it's going to mess up everything.
Yeah, because the zeros and the computers are not built for this, and it's going to just wreak havoc. And, of course,
let me ask you this. Was there, like, was the reporting back then, like, it's going to be fine? Were there, like national media outlets saying it's going to be fine?
No. I worked in Las Vegas, and they were on high alert because of the casino industry and because there was a big millennium party on the strip. There was tons of parties going on. And so you had to do all these like updates, and they had people monitoring the computers as it turned over from 1999 to 2000. But there were no special services. Ransomware wasn't a thing
right.
in 2000. That's a now thing. Like, that's where these people take over your computers and they will basically extort money out of you. And sometimes multiple, like, that happens all the time now. You know, hey, we got a
Absolutely.
Bug in your computer. Give us $3 million and we'll give it back.
Well, here's what I'll bottom line this.
Please do.
Thing.
You can call in now, by the way. You don't have to call in now, but now I got that part of it fixed. That was the only thing. And then ESPN Radio was on all ESPN platforms. So think about this. Deportes, ESPN TV, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPNU had to go to the radio because it was the only
Amazing.
Live manned thing they could get on. So at 5 o'clock in the morning, Freddie Coleman, who's filling in this week for our morning show Unsportsmanlike, they threw Freddie on all the networks on ESPN because it was the only thing they could get
what
on.
What a beast!
So my guy was on all of it.
So this is what I would say.
Please do.
The next Hiroshima.
Well, that would be a bomb.
Will not be a nuclear bomb. It will be a cyber attack.
I think that's fair.
It will be a cyber attack, and it will be maybe even in space, right? It'll be a satellite. It'll be something where, because you could see, I'm not trying to be alarmist.
You're not trying to be hyperbolic here. I think you're on it here.
I think you sort of can see.
Yes.
Like, and I'm sure there are bad actors that are seeing this.
It's scary as hell.
Not that they didn't already know, right?
Yeah.
But if they could just find a way to infiltrate CyberStrike. And make it to where it was not just a routine update, and make it to where it was a malicious attack, where you could throw off banks and airlines and everything, right? That you could cause absolute societal chaos.
Oh yeah,
collapse even.
Yeah,
you could see a world where I can't get access to my money, I can't get access to my travel, I can't get access to this, that, the other. You know, I mean,
I didn't know about CrowdStrike until today.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. So I think
you take that over, you can take over the world.
People talk about nuclear warfare.
Yeah,
it doesn't. You don't have to drop a bomb on people in 2024 to get the impact that you're looking for. Right. And I think this showed that. This was just like, this is like a, again, it wasn't an attack, but again, you could sort of see, somebody watching this unfold and saying, oh, I'll make this an attack.
Well, and I don't think we're tipping secrets here. There are people smarter than I am that are listening to this. This is where I think AI comes into the fold, because let's just say that you can write an AI program that dummies, let's say that John is the tech guru for a company, and I can mimic you. Like, I can go, this is John.
Yep.
I've written code, and then suddenly, like, somebody mimicking you using AI
can,
like, friggin' kill our company.
No, it's scary,
it's
bro.
It's wild, man.
I mean, I don't know what kind of guardrails we have in place for that, if any at all. But again,
I want my kid to go into this field because it seems like there's money there now. Like, if you can prevent this stuff,
AI,
and you're on it,
AI,
that's where it's at, man.
Yeah, man. Because I think it's like the old saying is AI is not going to take your job. It's the people that know how to use AI that's going to take your
job. Cybersecurity field, you know? And that stuff.
So, anyways, wow. I see this today, and like obviously, I'm glad that it's like it's relatively contained.
Did anything happen to you?
No, nothing happened to me.
Okay.
So it didn't impact. But again, you could see a world where. Mm-hmm.
You know, you were traveling today,
I was traveling. It'd be, you know, people were like, I saw in like Korea, they were doing like handwriting, like on, you know, passports or whatever. Or, you know, I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, I heard Jeff this morning had to go write his name down to do yoga at 5:30.
See, like, that's absurd that we have to do that.
Yeah. I mean, usually it would be a computer entrance. No, you got to put your name on the paper there, Jeff.
And there's a lot of stuff that's gone all digital, right? Like, there's just a lot of stuff that we.
Our door code?
Yes.
Ish? That kind of stuff?
You know, I mean, there's a lot. So,
wow.
It's just, it's almost like a warning shot without being a warning shot.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I find it all pretty ominous. I find it all pretty ominous in our world where we are so interdependent and interconnected on the internet, right? And on things working. And you take that all for granted, amazingly. Like, all these things work every single day. And they do, and they work. And it's like we don't even think about it. And then the minute that they stop, it's like our world collapses.
Well, I will say, and this is here's me being a plug for radio. When cell towers go down, radio towers often do not because a lot of them are still analog. Like, I wonder what's going to happen because I don't have a landline. I don't know about you. All I have is a cell phone now. Like, I was thinking about this. Like, what happens if they take that down? Because most people don't have analog anything anymore.
Yep.
It's all computer digital.
Well, we'll be here.
We're on.
We'll be here. If you know, they'll never get us. They'll never get us on radio, man.
They can. And it has happened. I mean, you got natural disasters and stuff.
But. Yeah. Well, I felt like we maybe avoided a disaster yesterday when Zach Edey was able to walk off the floor. But once again, plays for the first time since that first game in Utah Summer League. And again, comes down wrong on, I believe, the other ankle this time on a block attempt of Ford there for New Orleans and left the game and did not return. And I know Jason March said something along the lines of, you know, he's okay. And let me make sure. Let me get the exact quote. I want to get the exact. Okay. I don't want to like.
Yeah, like he walked off the court after it. Again, he didn't have assistance. He was walking. He clearly turned it.
Ready to go, but they might be cautious.
Right.
Ready to go if they need him.
It was just the off one now.
Hint, they're not going to need him.
No, he's not going
to
go in.
And he needs to come home. And honestly, like, this is exactly the reason why I said what I said after the first game in Utah, that there's no reason for him to play again. Because, I mean, that's now two ankle injuries that he suffered in 2 weeks, you know? Now, look, maybe that it was just destined to happen if he was playing pickup, if he was playing anything. I don't know. But I think that the way that injury happened is the precise reason why I said you can't put him out there. That was like outside of Zach Edey's radius. If you go back and you watch the play unfold, he was like overcompensating. He was like way out of the post trying to block this shot in a third quarter, right? Like, it was a meaningless shot in a meaningless game at a meaningless time. But he's so ultra competitive that he wants to go after every damn ball. And you can't ask him to turn that off when you put him out there, right? Like, he's going 100. He ain't going 50. He ain't going 60. He's going 100. Because, like, it's a personal affront to Zach Edey. Every time he takes the floor, he's got to prove somebody wrong. That's just the way he operates. And you can't put him out there and ask him not to be that, because that's what makes him who he is. And so, listen, I didn't need to see that yesterday. It obviously, you know, I'm glad it wasn't worse than it was, you know, that he was able to walk off. But you could see a world where, you know, he might break an ankle. I mean, again, like, yeah, you know, it's just what could have been. You're fortunate that it didn't happen, but I don't know what the purpose of bringing Edey back was. I wasn't really in favor of it, and you know, I mean, again, as a fan, you like to see it. I was excited to see it, but if I was running the organization, I'd say, for what? What are we doing this for? I mean, it's the last game of Summer League, right? If we lose this game, it's the last game of Summer League. You know, he hasn't played in, you know, a week and a half. What are we doing here? There's no reason for this. and then he gets hurt. So, again, you can't control that. You never know what's going to happen out there. But that's it for Edey. I would still say an incredibly successful summer league for him. And I think the question is now, do you sort of, are you concerned about his durability, right? That, I think that's a natural, because if Jason were here, I think that's where the conversation would go.
Sure.
It's like,
yeah, I don't have any questions about his durability either. I don't. Maybe you do. I don't.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's hard to know what to think. I think these were two sort of freak accidents.
Yeah, I that's where I'm going.
You know? So
And people, by the way, like, I turned my ankle and like that, like I saw last night when I'm playing pickup, right? You've done that before.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Happens all the time in basketball.
And I barely play defense. So,
yeah, like, I mean, but when you try to get a rebound, this is the problem with the big man. But I think he looks like he's more durable. He's walked off twice after he turned it. It looked like he broke his ankle in the footage. Like, I don't know about you, man. That is gruesome looking. And he just walks off the court.
Yeah. It wasn't like it's, you know, like a, like I don't know what it would be. But I would say I'm not super over the moon about it.
No, I'm not happy about it. I'm not going to rave about his durability, but yeah. If I had to bet on it, you know.
Like, I mean, he does
Chet Holmgren, I wouldn't.
Right. He does have he did play big minutes in college. But again, we're talking about NBA now. We're talking about a different league, different physicality, different strength. And he's too damn important. He's too damn important, man. So, I mean, the fact that he is this important, maybe you could be critical of, right? The fact that he is this important to the Memphis Grizzlies as a ninth pick overall rookie, and that there's no other option, I think maybe that's a discussion to be had. But I don't know. I'm glad he walked. And by the way, like, my God, these Grizzlies, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's playing for them.
No, they're really good.
Like, I mean, they're bullying Summer League.
And they didn't even really use LaRavia most of the game.
Nope.
You know, it's really two guys is who stick out to me. I don't know about you. Obviously, Cam didn't play much. He's hurt, or they're holding him out. But it's Gigi and Scotty. Those are the two guys.
Like, Gigi,
they have,
Scotty.
This has been the summer for those two.
And Deke Giroux was good yesterday.
And Giroux had a really, what do you have, 15, 16, 17 points?
Yeah, he was really, really good. He had a couple of big
threes. He was the third piece. And I still like the guy who's on the two-way, the center. He's decent. I mean, I think they're going to have to use him if they're this thin at the five.
Oh, yeah. There's no question.
I mean, they're going to have to.
You know, and maybe, you know, you use BC as the backup. I don't know what the plan is, right? I don't know exactly what the plan is going to be at that spot. But we know this.
I don't know.
We know this. It's Zach Edey is too critical to be putting out there for Summer League, and that's the last you're going to see him. We'll talk to Anthony Zane about this, get his thoughts, and more on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, I just turned to him, ESPN.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Brad got that extended bed for you today, saying got that extended drop.
Yeah, man. I know y'all became the official station of Kendrick Lamar over here, but if y'all think y'all killing my Drake drop, y'all lost it.
Yeah, we have not done that. That is your request. Brad will drop some Not Like Us, though. He will drop some Not Like Us during the show.
I'm sorry about that.
Y'all D-riding hard over here. It's all good. I'm a Kendrick fan, man.
This is the K-Dot station. I'll give you that.
I'm a Dot fan, but I ain't putting Drake down for nothing. I don't care. What they talking about?
He's loyal. He's Anthony Sane. Catch him on the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. Tribal Chief Grizz Twitter on Twitter at Sane Asylum. Join us every Friday. He's in the building now. All right, he comes, he goes.
Yeah, man.
How's the end of his summer league, right?
Hey, he probably done. The Grizzlies might win the whole thing, though. I think they clinched last night, so they'll move on to the semifinals, the four team elimination round. So they'll have games up until Monday. They keep winning, but I think he's done. It's literally no need to play him. I selfishly would like to see him again sooner than, you know, a preseason game. But hey, you know, he'll be okay. We'll be okay. It's a lot of just silly narratives out there that I've just kind of rolled my eyes at. One is the whole he missed the Olympics for this. My thing to that is, if that's a bad decision, it's a bad decision even if you played every game. I mean, it never equated to missing him choosing like to miss playing for his international team to play for the Grizzlies summer league and go to summer league camp. That didn't make sense whether he played or not. So,
do you think the Grizzlies told him?
Not at all.
Because I agree with you. I think he made the decision on his own.
Yeah, we've had much more pivotal players that were coming back from injuries or needed a summer to not be going to the Olympics that we've never had an issue with them playing overseas. And that's, you remember Jaren Jackson Jr. a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
that summer, last summer was his first summer that he wasn't rehabbing an injury. You know what I mean? So that could have been a year he could have been playing, like working on skills more so than playing, you know, overseas. And the Grizzlies had no resistance in them playing, and Santi's never been given resistance in playing. Yeah, it's a silly take to think. And somebody DM'd me saying that too. I was like, all right, bro. Like let's have a real life.
I really don't think it's the Grizzlies. Maybe I'm wrong on this.
Right.
But I don't think it's the Grizzlies' place, nor do they perceive it to be their place to ask a man not to play for his country.
Like they would never do that. And that was here's what it seems like to me is Zach Edey's a real gung ho dude. Like y'all talked about, right? He goes hard. Like he really wants to be the best and prove himself and prove people wrong. All those type of things. I think that. What happened was with him, you're talking about a guy who was projected to be a second rounder, then it was late first, then the Grizzlies take you at 9. Then you probably have a meeting with the Grizzlies and they tell you, hey, and you saw how giddy they were about him, you know, on draft night and all the interviews, and he's clearly going to be the starter next year. I think for him to have a team that's that invested in him, he probably thought, I'm so gung-ho right now, like, I want to be in the summer, like, I want to show these guys that I care type thing. I don't really think, you know, if he's saying it, it's not like the Grizzlies is going to say, no, don't do that. Like, if you want to come be with us, I mean, of course, you know, do that or whatever. But it's unfortunate the way it went down, but it didn't make his decision any dumber or less dumber that he got hurt while in the summer league. And as a Grizzlies fan, the selfish side of it, I'd much rather see him get hurt in summer league and us handling them the way they are than him to get hurt playing for Canada. And then I see that happen twice in the game. Now, that would have me a little worried if I'm watching him, if he's over there
getting
hurt.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I'd much rather see him
get
hurt.
Mad as hell.
Yeah, I'd be like, bro, what in the hell?
If you're going to get hurt with us.
Yeah, exactly. And then the whole style of play. Like, if he was playing for Canada right now, he would be playing pretty much in a role. If he was playing at all, they would use him like they're using him, you know, for Purdue. And that's not what he'll be doing.
Right.
Grizzlies. So, the looks we – because even last night in the limited minutes he got, he was mm-hmm. – boiling people out there.
Oh,
he was looking good.
Summer league's not for the bigs, you know?
No, not at all.
But you could tell, like...
And that's another thing, too, man. When you're a big playing big man ball in the summer league, the level of competition you're playing with... Because there was one guy in my mentions, he was like, oh, if this is how he gets hurt now, he ain't ready for big boy ball. I was like, well, he's a pretty big boy, so I think he's probably...
He's the biggest.
I think he's down for big boy ball. But it's just, when you're playing with guys that aren't particularly pros, but they're playing a faster speed like that... You got to be more protective of yourself. And I think that's something the Grizzlies is going to work with them on probably
right.
on this summer.
Right.
It's how to land better.
Exactly.
His footing. They got to get him with somebody that's a skilled big.
Exactly.
Who can kind of teach him how to navigate his body. Because, you know, a 7'5" guy coming down on the size 20 or whatever he wears ain't the same as a 6'9" coming down in a size 13. So,
yep.
He's got to figure all those things out. But I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think that was like, in terms of the play itself, that was definitely, you know, he has to sort of learn, like, what shots to kind of, like, mm-hmm. go after.
To contest. And,
you know, and that was definitely not one of them. I mean, I that's who he is, right? He wants to swat every ball, but it's like, you know, you do sort of mm-hmm. have to make business decisions in that way, too.
He's so, like, set on proving people wrong. He's just got to kind of relax and try to go with the flow of things because I'm amped to see it. I know I don't ever want to tell a guy to turn down.
Yep.
But he's just got to be more careful and just kind of learn how to, you know, use his body safer. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I think he'll be fine. I'm not concerned about anything the guy to do with the two ankle injuries he's got. Because if you get an ankle injury and you come back on one, you're going to overcompensate to avoid that ankle, you know what I mean? So those type of things happen too. So, but yeah, it sucks. It sucks to see it. Sucks the way it went down. But you know, we got preseason and camp and things like that coming very soon, and we'll see more of Zach Edey sooner than later.
Yeah, I mean, Gigi got the 0-for-10 out of the way.
Yeah.
Out of his system.
Yeah,
and he's been pretty damn good ever since.
Yeah,
too.
Gigi's a really good player, man. And if you watch the things he's doing, I had a conversation with somebody saying that because Desmond Bane said that Gigi and Ja are the most talented dudes he's ever played with, right? And it was like, you saying more talented than Jaren? Yes, more talented than Jaren. And nobody defends Jaren Jackson Jr. in the city more than me. And Gigi Jackson, if you watch him in these games, man, the way he plays look so effortless. It's almost like he's out there just screwing around. Because if you listen to some of the mic'd up stuff, he's out there talking to fans. He's out there just being silly. Like, and he's looking super fluid doing a lot of things he's doing. Like, the game is super easy for Gigi. Mm-hmm. There's not a shot on the court that he can't get off, that he can't take. You know what I mean? There's nothing that's not in his arsenal. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think he's, for his age and his height, he's an extremely skilled player. And I think once he ties everything together, he could be super scary for this team, I mean, as soon as this year. Like, I anticipate him having a big year. I'm not on the train if he needs to start. I'm not there at all. If he does start, I think we'll be fine. I don't really care who starts for us. Is that fifth starter?
Yeah.
But I think we'll be really good regardless of who it is. But I think Gigi's going to have an excellent year this year, and it's just going to kick off, you know, a great career.
Just going through, you know, the summer league assessments here,
mm-hmm.
Obviously we haven't seen him for the last couple, but mm-hmm. in the games we did see, Cam Spencer was a shot maker,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
He was a shot maker, a great shooter, looks like a maniac.
Yeah.
So is he just G League the whole year? I mean, is that what it looks like?
No, I think he'll get run. I call what the Grizzlies have now, 18-man roster, and I think that what they'll do is you'll see – on back-to-backs, you know, injuries, of course, rest games, things like that, you'll see these guys like Scottie Pippen Jr., like Cam Spencer, even Trey Jemison, you'll see those guys get, you know, some run on the main roster, on the 15 or whatever. And I think it's a good thing to have when you got guys at that talent level who can provide for you like that, especially a guy like Scottie Pippen Jr., right?
Yep.
A guy who, if John needs a night off, he can get into the guard rotation. He can play. He's a traditional point guard. Like, you can't really do anything with him but put him on the ball. But, like I said, he's been really good this offseason. Cam Spencer, a little bit of a lunatic.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, oh, for sure. I love it for sure. The Corner Store t-shirts are kind of bothering me a little bit because he's got the – those aren't, like, body armor, tight-fitted shirts. Those are, like, three-in-a-pack tees he's wearing.
Yes.
I'm a little concerned with that, which kind of adds to how unhinged he is, but – I think Cam Spencer is going to be a great player. He's a shot maker. He can keep the ball moving. He's a guy that kind of an irritant, of course.
Right.
Will get up under guys. He can defend a little bit as well. Decent size for a two guard. He can only play one position really too. He can only be a two. He's kind of like somebody said if you took Luke Kennard and John Conchar and put them together.
Yeah.
That's who Cam Spencer is, and that's a pretty good player. So yeah, I think his future is going to be bright for real. And, yeah, we'll see him this year because there'll be games where I think there'll be kind of – after a season like last year, you
right.
kind of want to have guys in there in case you have injuries or just need rest. So,
what are we waiting on with Luke?
I think they're trying to be creative with cap space and okay. things like that. They put out reports that – which I laughed at about Zaire Williams, as if they haven't been trying to move Zaire for the last 2 years, right?
Yeah, dude.
So to put out reports that they're trying to move off of Zaire Williams.
I think the whole league assumed that.
Right,
like we know,
which is why we can't move. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like so, we're not interested.
Yeah, so they're trying to. I think they're trying to totally move off of Zaire, like trade him into somebody's either trade exception or trade him for the draft rights to somebody where you don't have to move another player. I think they're trying to totally eliminate their salary, and that's going to come at a price, man. You know what I mean? Tim Hardaway Jr. went to Detroit for 3 second-round picks. It took Dallas moving 3 second-round picks to move Tim Hardaway Jr., who's a rotation player, who's a guy who played in the finals. He didn't play. He missed a lot of time in the playoffs for some reason, but he's a guy that can play. You know, he's a knockdown shooter, all those type of things. It took a lot just to move Tim Hardaway Jr.
Mm.
So to move a guy like Zaire Williams,
doubt.
Who's definitely not a positive, you're not going to get anything back for Zaire Williams. It'd be interesting to see what their price tag would be for the Grizzlies to have to actually move him. But I think they're trying to move him, and I think they have two numbers they presented to Luke. I think they're giving him a number where, hey, if we can get this much freed up, we'll give you this. And if we have to roll things as they are, we'll give you this. So just hang tight. Because you haven't heard anything else about any other teams
no.
even having interest in Luke. You know what I mean?
So yeah, exactly.
Grizzlies don't really have to rush as far as that.
Well, goes. And then like the market for a guy like Luke.
Guys like that, yeah. And I've been saying that all year.
But would Bees get like nothing?
Nothing. I've been saying that the whole year to a lot of fans who wanted to debate those type of things about what his value is. And the league is showing you guys who all they can do is spot up and shoot threes. It's a cool talent to have, but we got to be able to keep you on the court. You know what I mean? And you got to be able to do some other things. Versatility is key in this league. So guys like Luke, those guys' value are decreasing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Teams who have those type of guys like Tim Hardaway Jr., you know what I mean? They're not – if you can't play both ways, you're horrible on the other side. Most teams just aren't dealing with it. So guys like Luke, you know, their value is definitely decreasing. But I think he'll be back. I think he'll be back at a good number. And I think a lot of people are saying, well, the Grizzlies are being cheap. Not particularly they're being cheap because they're going to have to go into the luxury tax next year to keep Jaren anyway.
Right.
But I think that this year you want to have as much flexibility because a lot of people, and I'm still learning, I'm definitely still learning how these aprons work, right?
Right.
And there's so many things that you do that can just freeze you up where you really can't do much of anything.
I mean, the Grizz are going to be in that territory. Right.
And I think that for things that they want to try to do or would like to do this year, they need to be as flexible as possible. So I'm not mad at them trying to avoid the tax in the offseason. I think you want to go into the season with every possibility of everything you want to do.
Right.
Because here's another thing, too. A lot of people, I've been saying a lot of things on Twitter. Cause there's a lot of people saying, like, Scottie Pippen Jr. needs to be on the main roster, right? And this needs to happen, and Cam Spencer needs a real contract, and all these type of things. All those things are cool. They sound great, right? Because you see Scottie Pippen Jr., he's playing good ball. And I've kind of deflected a lot of things because we have Marcus Smart on this roster, right?
Yep.
Who you know is going to be your backup point guard, and you know that he's going to be starting, he's going to be guarding the best guy on the other team. That's happening whether we liked it or not. Like, that's, regardless of how you feel about it, that's the logical thing that's 99% going to happen. But the thing about Marcus Smart is you got, I think this year and next year, he's on contract. So if the Grizzlies are interested in moving him, which could very well happen, you don't want to limit the possibilities you have to pull off a deal like that. And if you reach, if you cross certain thresholds, cross certain aprons, you have to, you're limited in what you can do. So I think that with guys like that who are coming up on a, you know, an expiring deal, that's about a $25 million per year deal like that. You want to have all your options open. So I don't want the Grizzlies. I'm not mad at the Grizzlies, you know, doing things that could cap them off now. Not doing things that could cap them off now.
All right, let's go around Summer League. I want to get your thoughts on a couple players. Alex Sarr would have been the number one pick in the draft if he was willing to work out for Atlanta. He was not willing to work out for Atlanta. So I'm not going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
He is 1-for-21 in his last two games. He was 0-15. I believe on Tuesday or Wednesday, he was 1-of-6 last night. Can you be 1-of-21 in Summer League? Can that be possible?
I don't know how he's doing it at all.
And then you go on to be a good NBA player. Can those two things happen?
Yeah, he can be fine. I think his. This is the thing, too, man, because the thing that I'm most often vilified about on Grizz Twitter or just NBA Twitter were my pre-draft takes on Luka Doncic, right? Because I was like, how in the world are you guys watching a guy that's playing in Europe and thinking his game is going to translate? And it's never happened. There's never been a perimeter player there's never been a European player that's transitioned to the NBA that's as good as you guys are projecting this guy to be. And when they said his floor is Penny Hardaway and his a direct comp is like a James Harden, I was like, okay, y'all are drunk. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, we've never seen – there's never been an international player. Then this guy's, like, chubby. Like, what are y'all talking about? Like, that's what led to me having serious doubts of what Luka Doncic could be. I was like, I think he's going to be a very good player from what I see, but the echelon, the tier y'all are putting him into is crazy, right? And, of course, he's proved everybody wrong. Like, he's even better than those expectations that people had for him, right? So – I think what that's kind of done is, it's all. I think the premise of what I was saying at the time was still true, that the European style of basketball, especially with these young guys like that, is not the same thing as even college basketball as far as being ready for the NBA, right? So, but I think what's happened is teams have kind of thought, well, since Luka, a lot of those doubts and fears have kind of ended. But we might need to start being afraid of that kind of stuff again.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Sarr is going to be good this year. I don't think the other French kid, Richard Sher, I can't see him being good this year. And like I know he was good in the summer league. Richard Sher was fine. But it's a totally different adjustment when you get into the speed and the strength of the NBA. And a lot of these guys, they look good in playing overseas in these leagues they play in. But it gets real here, up here on this side, bro. So I'm not surprised to see him struggle, but I am surprised to see him struggle the way he is. But but the thing about him was not just that he was a foreign player playing in a foreign league.
Right.
But just his whole energy was like, I'm that dude. I'm like, bro, you don't look like that dude. Like, nothing about you makes me think that you got the kind of moxie like that you're kind of dripping right now.
Exactly.
I think when you get on the court, you're going to look like a wuss, but and he has. He hasn't looked like he's ready for a pro game at all.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm higher of those two, mm-hmm. I'm higher on Reese Hoshea because I think his
He's got a skill. He can knock down shots.
His instincts are better. Mm-hmm. Sarr, we had Woken on the show earlier this week, and he mentioned this about Sarr. Sarr kind of bounced around a lot. Mm-hmm. He was in Australia. He was at overtime lead. Yeah. It was like, are you hiding
something?
You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you?
And when these out of sight, out of mind guys like that, there's always something that could be a thing.
I think NBA front offices, I mean, I know they watch these guys, but I really do. I think they talk themselves into non-traditional players mm-hmm. that aren't in college or whatever because they're, I don't know. I just feel like there's an element of, oh, he's intriguing.
Yeah.
You know, because he's in this different, he's in the Adriatic League. Like,
right.
You know, and only one time, maybe, I guess if you want to use Joker,
mm-hmm.
but like that doesn't typically work out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it didn't work out for RJ Hampton. He's still in this damn summer league.
Exactly.
You know, like, I don't know. It's just,
And then he gets billed as being, well, he's kind of a lower level Jaren Jackson Jr. Okay, well, that's Mo Bamba. Like, that's not a good player.
I think Sarr would take Mo Bamba right now.
You know what I'm saying? I'm joking, of course, but I'm just saying. Like,
some of
the comps we put on these guys, they're just strange altogether. Like, yeah, I don't see it with him. He'll probably prove all us wrong, of course, but I don't see it with him. I think Rich Sherry would be fine.
15 in a game, bro?
Yeah.
I don't know.
In a summer
bro.
League game.
Yeah, like, you're a center.
Right.
You can't even dunk it.
Yeah, like, it was bad. I mean,
and it was Klingon, too. Right. Klingon was giving him the blues.
But if we're gonna criticize, like, the way guys are evaluated, we got to criticize your boy John Calipari. Because the best player in this draft, the two best players in the draft are two guys that I think were terribly evaluated going into the draft. And that's Reed Sheppard and mm-hmm. Zach Edey. I think those two guys were terribly evaluated going into the draft.
Yeah.
And like I said, Reed Sheppard, the way he's looking, if Atlanta had taken him one, and said, all right, we about to get rid of all these dudes. I mean, rebuilding around that dude does not seem like a bad idea to me.
Man.
So, I mean, I don't know what he'll be when the season starts, but, like, those...
He already looks like one of the best passers in the NBA.
Yeah.
Those two dudes,
Reed Sheppard and Zach Edey, like, really got misevaluated. And with Edey, I mean, not Edey, with Reed Sheppard, not as much pre-draft because he was getting people realizing this kid can play.
Right.
But why is this dude coming off of anybody's bench? Like, man, why in the world?
Dude, Cal's done that with remember he did with Booker,
bro,
too.
How do you see this kid in the first day of camp and like, oh, no, he's not a starter?
No, I mean, that's an interesting point, man. Like, because, I mean, he did have an abundance now. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had Dillingham who was playing last night. What did Dillingham have? Dillingham had 15 last night.
Yeah.
So you had Dillingham, you had Antonio Reeves. Like, you had some dudes, but I agree with you. Like, I mean, it's good to have a guy that comes off the bench, but not the number three pick of the draft, bro.
Nah, especially when the guy who started for him is still in college, right? He's still playing for – he's still – who started over Reed Sheppard?
I don't even remember.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's not –
yeah.
In the NBA right now. I don't know.
Yeah, he said he wasn't the three pick.
He wasn't the three pick at all. But, yeah, speaking of Houston, I got my man Will Forson. He covers the Houston Rockets. He's a podcaster, and he does the spaces with Houston Rockets. He'll be on the Anthony Sane show.
Dig that.
Check that out anytime on the podcast, whenever you want to.
All right, last thing before we get you out of here, there was, like, this big, cyber outage, the largest IT outage in history. When you see that, I don't know. I don't think it really impacted us that much, but you could see a world where one day, like, it might.
Yeah, it's. I don't really know many details of it. I know it affected airlines a lot. I don't really know. I heard y'all kind of saying some stuff. I didn't really see too much about it, but we can't go backwards, man. This is kind of where the world is. We're in the technology era, so, we can't go backwards. So we're at the mercy of all this stuff working, so, It kind of is what it is.
Yeah,
I heard you guys. I'm not as fearful as I heard you talking about it, but it's real though. So
yeah, it's like you really do. You like you don't even think about it. Where like it's all just supposed to work, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then like one day it doesn't.
Yeah, like that thing with the when AT&T when the phones.
Yes.
Yeah, like that was strange, bro. And then after that, everybody starts getting all these cyber calls coming. Like, we clearly, our stuff got hacked. Like, and mm-hmm. our stuff got compromised. And I got the email saying, one of your passwords may be compromised.
I get that all the time.
Yeah, it's like, when that thing happened to AT&T, man, like, our data, there was a data breach.
Yep.
Like, so it just lets you know anything that's, technology like that. There's somebody smart enough to get into it. So.
Bro, I don't use my debit card.
At all?
No. I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a little leery of it now because there's so much weird stuff to do.
I use my credit card. Every time I buy something, I use my credit card.
Mm.
And I just pay it with my cash in the bank. But I don't use my debit card because somebody could
I don't want to have to, like, check my bank account every day for fraud.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to, like, worry about, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. and if somebody steals money from my bank account, like, my debit card, it's going to be hard for me to get that back.
Yeah.
I can dispute a credit card charge all day long if somebody wants to steal that data.
Right.
But I don't slide my debit, bro. I'm past that.
I hear you on that. I mean, like, I think about them.
Like, because, bro, these gas stations, like, oh, you yeah. put that in.
Anything might be going down.
I really don't trust nothing, bro.
Yo,
I don't trust nothing.
Yeah, you ain't playing it off.
So, yeah, I'm on that credit card tip, bro. Hey, you get the points.
Yeah.
You go spend the money anyway. You might as well get, like, the travel points or something, bro.
Yeah, that
you
is.
You know what I mean? So, anyway, Will Fort's going to be on the Anthony Sane Show, Bluff City Media, with that premiere 12
yeah.
noon.
Yeah.
Catch it on Bluff City.
Check it out later on, man. Don't cut off of 92.9 Network. Don't cut that off.
Look at that.
As soon as you get a chance.
Our guy.
Sit down and listen to that.
Our guy, Anthony Sane. Appreciate it as always, big dog. We'll come back with the rundown. Jason and John, Audie Trina FM, ESPN.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.